Good afternoon. Thank you, everybody, for attending the Rancho Marietta Community Service District. Regular board meeting, June 7th, 5 p.m. Amelia, would you do roll call, please?
President Mabee.
Here.
Director Paul.
Here.
Director Janko is absent this evening. Director Butler.
Here.
Director Booth.
Present.
Thank you.
Item two, consider adoption of the agenda. Unless I'm hearing or seeing anything from the board, I make a motion to adopt today's agenda. Can I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director Booth. Roll call, President Mabee.
Yes.
Director Paul.
Aye.
Director Butler. Director Booth.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item three, consent calendar. 3A, it's the continuation of repairs for Lake 11 and continue of the contracting for emergency declaration. And if I understand, this might be the last of it, or are we going to try and finish it up by August? I can't remember.
We need to get the closeout paperwork from Lund.
That's what the whole, okay.
That, so it's technically the project's done, but
right, until the paperwork's completed. Got it.
So I'll move consent.
Amelia, roll call.
Thank you very much, Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Paul.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Booth.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item four, review district meeting dates, times for June and July. I would say if there's any committees that have conflicts, work it back with Amelia, and either arrangements can be made, and then we'll get that posted.
I moved to improvements in finance to the 5th of July because the 4th is on a Tuesday, our regular.
Okay, so you already made some of the changes.
Yeah, I changed it. If it's okay with the directors to have it on the Wednesday, not the holiday.
Good with me.
July, okay. July 5?
Yes.
Perfect.
Easy.
Thank you, Amelia. Item five, there was correspondence in the packets. Item six, this is the public hearing to introduce ordinance 2023-03, increasing water, sewer, solid waste service charges, and storm drain and security special taxes. So I don't know if we start with you, Mimi, or...
I'm going to have to borrow this, but the ordinance is to establish the rate increases based on the meeting that was in March, I believe. So the ordinance walks through the proposed increases. And give me just one second.
Yep.
Actually, do I have a copy of it? You know, Linda, may I borrow your copy of the ordinance?
Because I think so.
Yes. All right. So... I'll read it very quickly, just so you have it in the record. So this is a resolution. I'm sorry, this is the resolution.
There's the ordinance.
Here you go. It's
okay. I have this
one. And we can, refresh me, we can waive the first reading, Mr. Ramos, correct?
You can waive the first reading of the ordinance. However, you must read the title of it. And it's a long title.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, this is ordinance number 02023-03. An ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District amending Chapter 14 of the District Code relating to water service charges, amending Chapter 15 of the District Code relating to sewer service charges, amending Chapter 16A of the District Code relating to drainage special tax, amending Chapter 21 of the District Code relating to security special tax, and amending Chapter 31 of the District Code relating to solid waste collection and disposal service charges and leaf collection. So then it goes on for about three pages, and I'm not going to read all of that, but the ordinance is the precursor to some of the assumptions in the resolution and the budget. So that's
okay. Very good. With that said, then, how about if we go through the budget? I know that staff, especially Susan, has spent a ton of time. I do prefer this format, quite honestly. from prior years. So I don't know where we want to start.
Director, maybe I did want to point out that tied to this ordinance is the protest hearing on the rate changes.
Correct.
So I do want to make sure that you open the public hearing, hold the public hearing, and conclude it before we move into that discussion, because I think the budget items are captured both in this item as well as the next.
Thank you. So
two separate resolutions.
Yeah. So moving to what is 6C, we need to let the public, if there's anybody that's in opposition or protest or has something to say specific to this, is now on this fiscal year's budget is the time to step forward. Just,
if I may, it's just on the rates, I think, isn't it? The budget adoption is a separate resolution. And will we have a separate public hearing on that? Or is it all
correct?
One
there is a separate item on the budget. The current item is for the proposed rate increase and to satisfy the Prop 218 protest. So more specifically, the protest proceeding relates to the proposed fee increases for water, wastewater, and solid waste.
Sorry, Tim.
Oh, no. Good clarification. Thank you.
So you've opened it for public comment on the ordinance to adopt the rate increases, right?
Yep. Not hearing, seeing any, then I'm going to close that portion of the public hearing on ordinance 0-2023-03. With that said, Amelia, how many official letters have you received?
We've received 3 protest letters, and we have 2,862 ratepayers.
Okay.
So I'll move approval of the ordinance, Mr. President, and then I wish to make some comments after you have a second.
Very good.
So, Mr. President, I did want to clarify that today is introduction of the ordinance, so it actually won't be passed today. It can be discussed, but it will come back to you at the 21st for potential passage.
Okay.
So the motion, Director, would be then move introduction of the ordinance, waive the first reading, and have the
discussion
ordinance back to the board. And you can discuss it tonight.
Okay.
Yes, exactly what Mr. Ramos said, Amelia. I'll amend my motion thusly.
And so with that,
you need a second.
I will second it. And then if you would do roll call on that, Amelia.
I want to make a comment.
We don't have to talk about it and then do roll call?
Why would you do a roll call?
Oh, you know what? I take it back. We don't. We just have introduced it. Now we can have discussion on it. So I'm going to open that up to the board. I'll start down. Director Pohl.
I'm in favor of it, and I think we need at least to meet our current costs, and that's what this budget or rate increase does.
Director Booth.
Yes, thank you. I have a few comments I'd like to make. As many of you in the room know, when we considered the rate increases in March, I voted no on the rate increases for water and wastewater, and I provided an explanation then that I thought we didn't have sufficient financial information available to us to make an informed decision. The board voted to adopt those rates, propose those rates, and as I explained at the town hall meeting that we held a month or so ago, based on the board's approval, I support the board's action in that regard. Subsequently, given the fact that we only have 3 protest letters, I'm encouraged and feel comfortable. That's why I moved to advance this. I think that I credit the district providing more thorough information to the community, and I credit the community's recognition of the forces of inflation on the district's expenses over the last 2 years as the reasons that we didn't see a concentrated protest. And I thank the community for their support in that regard, and I echo Director Pohl's comments that we have to have a budget for 23-24, and as explained several months ago. These rate increases represent our best estimate as to how to address those cost increases, and that's why I'm going to be in support not only of this ordinance but also the proposed budget. Thank you, President Mabee.
No, thank you for those comments. Director Butler.
I'm happy to see that we are on a positive track at this point as far as the budget is concerned. It is extremely difficult to do anything or get anything accomplished when you're fighting with the community that you represent, and I'm glad to see that that isn't happening at this point. I have questions regarding reserves, et cetera, that we will get into
right on the on the next further budget.
But otherwise, I'm a proponent of this.
Oh, yeah.
All right, very good. With that, for everyone's edification, this ordinance is the max that the district can in fact offer or reach. In the next few days, if staff's given direction through the budget process, it could be reduced. I don't know if it will or won't, given the time frames. But to meet the Prop 218, this is as high as the rates can in fact go, no matter what we determine in the budget process in item 7 moving forward. So with that, Susan, a lot of this really kind of goes back to you. So thank you for that. Okay, that takes care of item.
Do you need a vote?
No.
No, we're good because we did the one introduction. We've had our discussion on it, so.
Director, maybe we do need to move the motion so that we can move it to the next meeting for potential
okay,
adoption.
So, Amelia, you've had a second on it. Is it a roll call?
Yes, Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Cole.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Booth.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item number 7 is to introduce resolution R-2023-08, approving the proposed budget for fiscal year 23-24, including capital projects. So 7A. Staff presentation. Is that going to be Susan? Is that going to be you?
I'll kick it off.
Okay.
And then Susan has definitely spent much more time on the budget, so you can send her the hard questions. Yeah. So this.
And Mimi, I have it up on the screen, so if you want me to change pages,
okay.
I'll try and listen and follow along with what page you're talking about.
Thanks. I'm going to start with the resolution.
Okay.
And this I will read. So this is resolution number R-2023-08. This is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District approving the budget for fiscal year 2023-24. Whereas district departments have submitted estimates of budget requirements for fiscal year 23-24, and those estimates have been reviewed by the General Manager and Finance Committee, and whereas the General Manager has submitted a proposed budget with the tabulations of the estimates together with proposed revisions to the Board of Directors, and whereas the Board of Directors has reviewed and considered the proposed budget for fiscal year 2023-2024, and whereas a public presentation and hearing were conducted for the budget for the fiscal year 2023-24 on June 7th, as we speak, at 5 p.m. in the boardroom at 15160 Jackson Road, Rancho Murrieta, California. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the proposed budget for fiscal year 23-24, as submitted by the district general manager and as reviewed by the Board of Directors, is a proper financial program for the budget period and constitutes the budget for 23-24. And two, the district's 23-24 budget is hereby adopted in the form as presented at this meeting and ordered filed with the County Auditor of Sacramento County in accordance with sections 53901 and 61110 of the Government Code, introduced by the Board of Directors on the 7th day of June 2023. And then it includes language about the resolution to be voted on June 21st by the Board of Directors. So that is the resolution for the budget, and Amelia has up the budget itself, which is rather a large document, but in it includes a budget message, which essentially explains the process of the creation of the budget. And in this situation, we have, in this proposed budget for 23-24, we have anticipated estimated revenues of $10.9 million and anticipated uses of resources of $11.3 million. And that represents an increase of 33% over last year in additional resources and an increase of uses of 38%. So we've increased a little bit, but those increases actually include some uses of funds for reserves. And then the budget memo also includes the five specific enterprise areas, which constitute the district's operations, and where each of those funds are in terms of their condition, their fund condition. And if we move further into the document, what I want to point out is that we have all of the rate information, the ordinance information, but if we can scoot to the charts, I want to just show the pictures, because sometimes numbers can make people, you know, glaze over.
I think page 18, Amelia.
Oh, here you go.
So here on the revenues, you can see the five different areas that are contributing to the resources available for 23-24. The bulk of those are coming from residential fees. They represent about 65%, and that's about $7.15 million. Then the next largest is capital fees at 15% of the overall budget at about $1.6 million, followed by commercial fees, which represents about 9% of the budget and about $979,000, followed by the property tax revenues of $818,000, that's 7%, and then other income, which represents 4% of the $10.9 million, and that is about $385,000. So those represent the different revenue streams that create the budget for the district. And then if we go to the next slide, you can see where those funds are being used, or where the funds are being proposed to be used for 23-24. And the largest expense is, as it is with most organizations, it's salaries and wages, and that's almost $4.4 million. And then the next largest expenditure is professional services at $2.1 million, followed by a transfer to capital reserves of about $1.9 million. And then we have other expenses, maintenance and repairs, materials and supplies, utilities, and water studies. So all of those proposed expenditures are almost $11.3 million. And if we look at the subsequent pages, we have the overall budget the overall budget at the very beginning, but then we move into the five different enterprise funds and also the administration fund. And the administration fund is for the employees whose services benefit all five enterprise activities. And what we've got here on these budgets, which I believe is different from it was last year, is what's called a pro forma presentation, and we're showing actually beginning balances for fiscal years 3 years prior, back to 2021, and then moving forward to the current year. And so I'd like to just make a caveat here that we are still in the process of closing out two prior fiscal years, both 2021 and 21-22. And until those fiscal years are audited We are working on sort of assumptions. So we hope to close out the audit for 2021 in the next several months and then proceed to 21-22. And then, of course, 22-23 doesn't have much time left in it as well, maybe another 3 weeks. So that'll be closed out. And so all of these numbers are sort of contingent upon what we had to work with at the beginning of 2020. So we hope to come back with more solid numbers in 3 to 6 months when these audits have actually been finalized. So that is something that we are having to deal with just because of the financial management history of the organization. So, but what you see in this presentation is the beginning balance, what we believe to have been the adopted budgets for the prior fiscal years, and the expected ending balances, which then become the beginning balances of the next year, and so on and so forth. And so all of these ripple through each other as time, you know, has passed. And because our beginning assumptions haven't been tested because of the lack of closure of the prior fiscal years, there may be changes to these. So, and then I think the only other comment that I want to make is that that we hope to, in the not too distant future, start to be operating in the black and to kind of turn the corner on this history of sort of unclosed fiscal years, because it really is unprecedented, and we appreciate the value of closing out in a timely manner each fiscal year and then also completing the audits in a timely manner. So that is a statement of where we are in this fiscal year, and certainly in coming fiscal years we'll be on a more even keel. And Susan, I don't know if you want to add anything more to this.
Well, how about if we stop right there, because that was a lot, and thank you. And I'll open it up to board members if we've got questions on processes.
You want public comment first?
So obviously public comment on all non-agendized items is, I think, item 9 on tonight's agenda.
It's agendized.
But, right. Here, it's specific to these items. So do we have any questions, comments from the public? Yes, come on up, please.
Hi, John Merchant. I'm just trying to understand with the beginning balances. Do you have any idea, based on what those unapproved audits say at this point, where we go with that? How potentially are we going further upside down as a result of those budgets being in the red? Or that gives us the two of those are going to, if I'm understanding what you're telling me, are going to contribute to what the actual beginning balance is going to be, correct?
Yeah.
Do you have any feel for where that is?
I don't, but I want to explain that the budgets were what was proposed, what was adopted, and then the expenditures as well. And so, as with anybody's budget, sometimes you'll have this proposed amount, and the reality may be more or less. But I wasn't here, so
yeah, right.
And I haven't seen the 2021. It's still, being sent over to the auditors by the Poon Group, and so it's not something that I can comment on. But I think if there had been a serious deviation, there would have probably been repercussions, and it would have been known. But Susan, I don't know if you have a more
Let me address you, because you mentioned a key word that sticks in my head for why this could be a significant number. The unaudited expenses for last year, which include things like retaining staff at the same time, duplicating those efforts through expenses with the Poon Group, led us to, I think, what would be a pretty significant administrative cost versus the budget. And I'm not condemning anyone for why it happened. I was sitting up there when part of it did. But I'm just wondering and concerned about what that number looks like when we start off and we get these audits approved. Thanks.
And John, to that point, the board's as concerned. There are some cost savings with the attrition of some staff. But it's one of those, understand, we had a carryover budget last year. And so exponentially, just the pure cost of doing business went through the roof. So, you know, right now my lightning math shows us at a deficit just starting off the fiscal year at $282,630. That's something that I'm not saying we can absorb, but operationally I think we can work with it. Now it's really going to be back, how accurate are our assumptions, because we don't have those two audit periods. And so I agree with you, Mimi. Once we have that, then we can better attune what this budget truly looks like in the next 6 months or so. But Susan, if you've got any thoughts.
This may not be very official, I mean, or very amazing, but we do have money in the bank, so that does help. It's a good sign.
That's good.
So,
that's good news.
We just don't know how much.
No.
But other than that, I know we have.
We do know how much, and we clearly have restricted. Some of that money is restricted for a particular purpose, but that is one sign. And where we came up with those beginning balance numbers was from the 1920 audited financial statements. So those represent, it's not fund balance as a whole, but it's the available balance for operations. So we know that at least it's the right starting point. But to your question, whether or not the 3 years, you know, following the budget year that we're looking at, whether we operated a deficit or a surplus, we just don't really know at this point. So, but it is a project. The next project that we have is our completing our reporting model. So we should have 22-23. We don't have 21-22 and 2021 are in the hands of consultants. But the current year, we will be able to at least provide summary information on total expenditures, probably within 30 to 45 days.
I don't know if that answers, John.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yes, please.
Betty Ferraro. And my concern is the consultant that we have, the corporation, doesn't seem to be moving forward. I know that there's a lot of issues in front of them, but our concern is that this keeps dragging on, and they do not seem to have a date that's been published, and I'm putting published, before this board or the community when they think they're going to be able to provide that. So you are doing a budget blind, as you said, you're relying on what you do know. Is there anything in the contract with this company that specifies that they must complete a certain amount of the budget preparation for the auditor on a timely time, like a date? I'm tired of sitting at these meetings and hearing it's being worked on. It's being worked on. And I know how involved it is. However, by now, we should have that. And the only way I can see that you wouldn't is the contract that is now in existence with the company that you're using. And if they cannot provide it on a timely manner as to this board's request and our new manager's indication, then I think we need to proceed with maybe we have the wrong company and really get something done, because that's what this community is waiting for. Then I don't know how to make it any clearer. So that is my suggestion. It's not a negative. It's just a positive to move forward.
So I'll answer that. Evidently, and I'll speak for myself because I'm the board president, I failed to explain to individuals such as yourself and the rest of the community the complexity of this audit process. So to say that the company's not responsive, to say that they're not capable of performing the audit, they actually have to have data and they have to have information. And that information has to be verified and correct. Once that information is verified and correct, they can affirm to it, then it gets moved on to the auditor. We understand that there's potential material breaches. We understand what that means. We can either try and resolve it at our end or pay the consequences on the back end after the audit. So as much as you say you understand the process, it is more complex for the situation we're in because we do not have any accurate data that we can just turn over to them. They've had to work with staff, and I'll pick on Susan, ad nauseum trying to get that information and verifying it. Are they moving as fast as we would like as board members? Absolutely not. Are they moving as fast as their due diligence gets them? The answer is yes. I do know that the general manager does have a meeting with Vanessa Burke coming up in the next week or so. So I understand some of your concerns will be shared probably with that. At the end of the day, as important to residents, we owe something to the Sacramento County Grand Jury, and that is to complete those two audits. And we are doing it in the most expeditious manner with the staff that we have and with our consultants. So I understand you might be frustrated, and you're representing how many of folks. Your frustration is just worn different than us board members, and I'll open it up to the board members. But it's one of those being on weekly meetings with group. It's a monumental task to say the least. Director Booth.
Yeah, thank you. So again, as many of you in the room know, I have been perhaps one of the most vocal critics of the status of our financial accounting. The progress of the Poon Group, et cetera. I've done a lot of researching and soul searching over the last couple of months, and I am convinced as I sit here this morning that the challenges that presented from our legacy systems, our own staff's lack of familiarity or ability to work and produce the data that President Mabee describes contributed significantly to delaying well beyond the Poon Group's timetable. At the 218 town hall, we shared some information. Ms. Burke was generous in the manner in which she said, hey, there's been delays with us getting the info we need. And I'm convinced that was absolutely true. We have a new general manager that's only been here for a minute. We have Susan, who's been working for a very short period of time. I met with each of them earlier in the week, and I'm really impressed with the progress that they have made. As may have been mentioned, the data is all at the auditor's office now for the 2021 fiscal year. So that's a huge milestone for us. Took longer than we wanted it to, but it's there, and now that's allowing the Poon Group to focus on getting the information for the next fiscal year gathered. Once we get the budget approved, our staff will be able to rededicate time to do that, and I'm cautiously optimistic about the light at the end of the tunnel that I see tonight sitting here.
Thank you. Director Butler.
Susan, actually, we've never met, which I'm sorry to say. And you've been sort of, what I can tell anyways, is a bridge between the previous administration and the current administration, because you've been here for a bit of both parts. And we've heard, I don't know if everybody can hear me, we've heard and understood, you know, all along that there were problems with getting information. can you, or do you feel more comfortable now with the process? Do you think that we are doing a better job of getting, or somehow getting a better, more information to the Poon Group and their...
Sounds like a loaded question, but good luck.
I don't know.
I mean, I hate to go backwards, but I feel like, in a way, we have to go a little backwards to, in order to go forwards. And
the nature of CPA firm engagements, I can say, it's a machine. It's an ever-evolving calendar.
Okay.
And I don't fully agree that delays by staff have been the sole delays involved in the process. And but I can say just is that it's very difficult for CPA firms. I was in public accounting for 8 years myself, and to juggle. There's a lot of pressure to get a lot of work done and go find more work. It's like Pac-Man. And so if there's a delay in one area, then sometimes things are shelved and it causes a greater delay.
Mm-hmm.
So to pin all the delays on staff, agency staff, I don't think is accurate or fair. During that time, we had a lot of turnover. It's very difficult.
I know.
Mm-hmm. So that is, we have to have priorities. The priorities of the office were to get the utility bills out, get the money in, and get those things done first and try and train people. I think I've been here a year, and all of the chairs have changed 2 or 3 times. So it's quite extensive. And it amazes me that we can't necessarily get industry experienced professionals. So it's not just training experienced professionals on what they already know. It's taking green, pasting people, and teaching them a whole new profession. So I do believe that the group that we have is well prepared to carry on, and they are learning their posts. They've learned a majority of the responsibilities and duties of their posts, and we are continuing to make sure that they are trained. So, all of us are new that are left to manage the accounting system, and so now we have Chris Fukunashi. He's been very instrumental, very helpful. He's the accountant here. He and I know more about the systems. There are multiple financial systems here. It's not just one. And so we're better able to detect when things go wrong or when we find things that we've found a lot of process that creates more work on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working to fix those situations, those issues. And so the future, our goal has been to make sure that the current year, 2022-23, is in the bag as soon as it's over. We do have a few adjustments to make, but and we know we have to do the other years first. But for certain, from here forward, we have a pretty good, I think, handle on how things are going. So, but there still is a lot of work to do.
I expected that that was the case.
Yeah.
And I also expected that it wasn't the case, that the Poon Group was just hanging around, twiddling their thumbs.
And so for that, thank you, Susan. So, Mimi, I would just say when you have the meeting with Vanessa, you've heard concerns of the residents, staff, the board. So I think we can have that further conversation with Ms. Burke in the process from that standpoint. I don't know if that answers everything you heard, Betty, but again, your frustration's just being worn a little different than our frustration.
In a way, yes. In a way, no. Since I've sat in your seat and I know the frustrations, And I know the past way that accounting took place. You are in a bad place as far as getting everything done. But
yeah.
And I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And Susan, thank you very much for the time you put in. I know that it's taken a lot trying to get an antiquated system under control, getting a new one started. So, yes, I understand that. But I also understand that companies can take their spare time getting things done by we pay them money. And so long as they don't get it all processed in the right time, they stay on the payroll. So I'm just concerned with that because there's rumors in the neighborhood, as Tim well knows.
Let me try and clarify your last statement. We're not paying them to hang around. It's a time and materials. So when they produce something, then we pay them for it. So it's again, I can't answer rumors because they're not factual.
That's correct.
So I can only tell you what I know and what the process is that we're doing. You've heard the process. So the only thing I can ask is please have those people contact me directly or the general manager to clarify those rumors. Again, if you didn't hear it from staff or the board, then I wouldn't take it as much accurate information from that standpoint. So, again, not to belabor it, you see where we're at. It's not an impossible task. If it was impossible, it's going to take even longer. It's just short of an impossible task to run the district and do everything that we're doing. So that's where we're at. I'm not apologizing. It's you've heard from staff. We're trying to run the district, implement a new system, and live through this next fiscal cycle. So that's where we're at.
I agree with you totally, and I don't usually listen to rumors, and that's why I came to this meeting. If you want to find out the facts, come to the horse to find out what the horse has got to say.
Well,
and then
just,
you know what...
You don't know... Well, everyone knows what end of the horse I am, so I'll leave it
We
at
won't
that.
Get into the horse itself.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I do not believe in true rumors unless I see the facts.
Thank you.
I come to you as a board and as two employees that support it, and I know the downfall of the last... system that we had. It was so antiquated. It should have been replaced years ago.
I would have appreciated that if you would have, believe me.
Well, I couldn't when I did not have the community behind me that wanted to spend the money either. So what goes around comes around, shall we say.
Yeah.
So yes, I do understand, and I do want to say thank you again to students to take over what seemed like a very difficult task with so much changeover and a changing of the system. Thank you.
Thank you for that recognition, staff. Any other from the board?
What are we talking about?
Yeah, we can now get into the specifics from that standpoint. I just want to get the oversight looked at from that standpoint. Any other comments from the public regarding this process? Okay. Let's continue on, and I think if we just go through the actual enterprise funds, that'll work for me.
All right.
And then probably as we go through, I would just ask the board maybe hold their questions until we're done with staff making their presentation, and then we can ask.
All right, so the first one in order here is water. Is that right? Do you have that one up on page 21?
Admins first.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't consider that an enterprise fund, but we can start with admin.
Okay, I'm going back up to the admin.
Okay, so admin, we have a proposed beginning balance, again, based on the situation of not knowing everything that transpires from the starting point of 2020 all the way through until today. We have a proposed starting fund balance of $452,354. Mm-hmm. We anticipate revenues of $860,450 and then expenditures of $2 million. And then we have categories called transfers out and transfers in. And these are really a result of the nature of admin, which is a service that's provided to all of the 5 enterprise zones. So there's sort of a cost recovery process where those different funds actually make contributions to admin, or in this case with the first category, the transfers out, the administrative dollars are helping those funds as well. So we have $818,000 going out, and then coming in we have $2,003,000. So that leaves this fund with a balance that's exactly equal to the beginning balance. So it starts at $452,000 and then it ends at the same amount. So that's admin. And then if we move to water, water is actually our strongest enterprise activity, but it starts the fiscal year off with a negative fund balance. You can see that it also had a negative fund balance with the start of the fiscal year 2021. And so it has, that actually in this projection has shrunk a little bit. The deficit has shrunk a little bit. But that starts with a fund balance in the negative, almost $1.2 million, has revenues of almost $4.3 million, and then expenditures in several different areas. The first one being supervision and management, which is about 1.3. Then we have expenditures in the category called source of supply, which is very connected to the water itself, and that's about $251,000. Then we have water treatment costs of about $876,000. And then the last expenditure is actually for transmission and delivery, and that's about $3 million. And then we have transfers out and transfers in. And the combination of all of those results in an annual deficit of $103,000 for the water. And that takes the fund balance to almost $1.3 million in the red for water. Then if we move to wastewater, we have a beginning balance in the black of almost $298,000 for 23-24. And the revenue anticipated for wastewater services is $2.6 million. And then again, the expenditures are lumped into a few different areas. We have supervision and management, which is about $414,000. Collection, which is almost $432,000, and then treatment costs, which are almost $547,000, for a total expenditures of almost $1.4 million. And then this fund actually has transfers out for admin, as we talked about, and then transfers in, for a net ending balance of almost $396,000. So that is, I believe that's one of our few funds that ends in the black in 23-24. If we move to the drainage fund, we start with a fund balance that's negative of about $10,300. Revenue anticipated for this category is $240,000, and expenditures are anticipated at $222,000. And I should say those are direct expenditures, because the indirect expenditures for the administration pushes this into the red. And this is actually with a use of some admin resources to help reduce the overall deficit down to the $5,856, which means that the fund balance grows to negative $16,000 for the drainage fund. And then if we move to solid waste, we have a beginning balance of almost $96,000. revenues projected at $1.4 million and expenditures at about $1.39 million. And then if you add in the administrative costs, that's another $40,000, and that pushes this annual deficit to $18,000 for the solid waste. And that reduces the fund balance down to almost $78,000 for the solid waste. And then the last enterprise fund is one that's been the subject of considerable conversation in the last several months, and that is security. And security has a negative beginning fund balance of almost $389,000 with anticipated revenues of roughly $1.6 million. And then three categories of expenditures that total close to 1.3, and those are in the areas of supervision at 181, almost 182, and then security gate coverage, which is 702,000, and then the security patrol at 370,000. So those three categories of expenditures prior to the admin costs are at 1.25 million, and with the admin cost allocation and a distribution from the admin fund of 50,000, that fund still ends up in the red by almost 253,400. And I can't conclude talking about this particular enterprise area without mentioning that certainly in the grand jury report there were objections to the use of other resources to fund different security activities, and this is sort of a scaled ramp down because we have obligations that we can't eliminate in one fiscal year. So rather than going from 500 roughly, which was captured in the grand jury report, from 500 to zero in 1 year, we're dropping 500 to 250 roughly, and then ultimately in the 24-25 we'll probably have to have another reduction in order to get the security activity to be in line with the security resources. So, but even with that subsidy, this fund is expected to have an ending balance of almost 643,000. And all of these funds have, or I should say almost all of these funds have negative fund balances, which are going to also require attention in the coming years so that we get back in the black. So that's just going to be part of the work of getting back on an even keel. So that's the enterprise funds, and I can stop here for questions and before we go on to the next aspect of the budget, if you'd like.
If you would, please. Okay. Mimi. So I'll open it up to the board. I'll start with you, Martin, for questions or comments, please.
I noticed in this budget that we are allocating all of the property tax revenue toward operations. Okay. Maybe you could explain that then.
Martin.
Most of it's going.
If you can, Amelia, if you can page up to the admin budget. So,
page 20.
It's a little bit of a new presentation this year compared to how it was in prior years. So the property tax, the estimated property taxes are $818,000. And at the direction of the ad hoc committee and management, none of that was to be spent on administrative expenditures. It was to be used in operations, so or reserves. So the goal was to put as much towards reserves as possible. There was a commitment by the board to appropriate $50,000 of the property tax money to security, a fund, and then we appropriated $60,000 of that, yes, to operations, And then there are a couple capital projects. The 425 are they're capital projects, but they're in the water fund. And then that 200 and I can't see the number, but 283,000 is two capital reserves. So not all of the property taxes for operations. There are some, but.
Where does it show? Are you on the summary?
I'm on the summary.
No, it's on page
20.
Martin. So 425 is going out.
That's to the studies. Yeah.
So how much is going toward reserve? How much of the property tax is going toward operations?
To operations is 110. Oops. 110, and I'm not exactly certain why, but there are capital studies that are the expenditures for those are being spent out of operating funds.
Right.
So it's kind of a capital expenditure, but it's in operations, but it's 425. Typically, rate studies and master plans are capital.
So the integrated water master plan would be capital studies.
It's a capital. It's definitely a capital expenditure, or it's appropriate to classify it as a capital expenditure.
So,
because it helps an agency determine what its long-term plans are and what its long-term capital needs are going to be.
I find this confusing because this $18,000 that we're getting in property taxes, it comes twice a year, right?
$818,000 is the annual expectation.
Okay, so but yeah. We get it twice a year.
We get it in a few lumps. We actually get it. The majority of it comes, yes, in January and May.
Okay.
It's from December and April collections.
Okay.
And then so, others dribble in.
So I was at the meeting when we decided we would give security $50,000 of that. And then I don't recall knowing that $110,000 went to operations for capital studies.
Well, the 110 is 60 and 50, so that's 50 of the security, and 60 is going to drainage. It's not fiscally responsible to have such a deficit, to operate and budget a deficit. It's not.
Okay. So when we get this money, how do we delineate this, and where does it go? How do we know that it's there? How do we know we put it to reserves? Etc.
So the budget is the budget is the guideline.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what happens is it's a series of transactions that we post. We have to. So the budget tells us when the first installment comes in. We post it to the specific funds that it was appropriated to.
Okay. Yeah.
If it were not all appropriated, which in prior years it hadn't been. Then it remains in the administrative fund.
But we can't keep it there anymore.
Is not true. Oh. It's discretionary revenues, so you can do whatever you want.
Right.
And in that regard, I don't know that I agree with the grand jury report. You can do whatever you want with the property tax.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I guess in past meetings, et cetera, we've talked about property tax going to reserves, and I see that some of it's going to be taken off or not put into the reserve section. But
an agency needs to be able to demonstrate that they can operate without a deficit, mm-hmm. And so the discretionary resources are those that are utilized. So there is a prioritization. So, and so you can't use, for example, water resources to fund drainage. Those are restricted to water operations. The only discretionary resources that the district has are
the
these that come
taxes.
In from these that come in, all of them that come into the administrative division. It's including fines and fees and other
right.
other items, but very small amounts.
So if we have a deficit somewhere, which we do, and we get property tax money, it is required that we address the deficit first rather than put it into reserves?
Well, it's standard budgeting practice, and it will depend on it. I think it depends on the policies of the agency. If the agency has a policy for fiscal responsibility and a balanced budget, then you know it has to figure out a plan to balance. And granted, there isn't a way to balance all the funds, all the operating deficits that you have in 1 year's property tax. So what we have to create is a plan to address, once we find out what the actual results of operations are, then we can determine what exactly are the fund deficits, and then what are the options for correcting those deficits. You have a few options. One is, systematic utilization of discretionary resources. The other might be if you have set aside, if there are some discretionary resources that have been set aside, you can recharacterize those or unset them aside if they haven't been spent. So in essence, it's kind of dipping into reserves in order to...
And that we keep doing. Dipping in and
so I have a question.
To reserves. Yeah. To fix everything?
Is that, well, I don't know if it answers your question.
Yeah, it answers the question.
Director,
not happy about
so
it, but
do,
it answers
right.
the question.
Do we have restricted fund balances that are not represented in this proposed budget document?
Yes.
And were we to take the operation studies, which are a precursor to capital projects, and if we were to take the capital projects that are both listed as transfers out on the admin budget, could we and use restricted capital funds for those two line items, could we not then reduce the administrative budget by $708,000?
We need to research and be very mindful of what the reserve policies are for the board, the district, and what and where prior discretionary resources, what they were funded. So we need to, depending on if the resources were, if the property tax, for example, revenues were allocated to the connection fee fund, which is restricted, then that would be something for our attorney to have to find out if we could unrestrict those. If it's just in a reserve, and the reserve is in essence the rainy day fund or the future asset replacement and maintenance fund, then those, depending on what the policies were upon inception, then it's possible that they could be that those projects could be funded from those. Did I answer your question?
I think you did, and I thank you for that. I know it's not an easy
right.
answer.
I can tell you that the way this agency budgets is that regardless of one would not decrease expenditures by $800,000 or $600,000. That the expenditures that are allocable to the departments is that $2 million less those non-property tax revenues. So that has been the practice this going back several years. You wouldn't decrease the expenditures, you'd decrease the transfers out, and so you'd have more money available to transfer somewhere, I suppose, unless we changed the methodology that we use to budget for administration. There are other agencies that budget the net. So what are the general fund discretionary revenues? What are the expenses? What's left over? And that's what we allocate.
Okay, thank you. So question then for Mr. Ramos. And that is, could this board adopt this proposed budget and then during the fiscal year revisit this issue of whether or not there are other funds available that we could use to fund those two line items that I address? And it might would require what, a budget amendment at that time, and then maybe a change in our policies if we have policies that cover that?
I think that's correct. And I would add, too, that the additional time to look at this issue would be appreciated, because we are very careful about the use of restricted funds and ensuring that they're used properly. So
right.
In the hypothetical that you were saying, Director Booth, that could be something that we could look into, but we wouldn't be in a position to do that tonight without knowing the specific funds.
Yeah, and that's why I said it's something that I think later on, we get into the fiscal year, we take some time to research that thoroughly and see if the board is interested in adopting such modifications.
I'd agree that could be a way to proceed.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
So to add on to that, Director Booth, last year we didn't get to it. We were going to update the board policy on how much goes into reserves, all those other things. And I think where this ties in is when we get into the budget year, we look at our cost allocation study and we get some better understanding. And I think you're right. That's when we'll know more operationally what the costs are going to be. And then that could tie us into our five-year rate study with the answer coming from Mr. Ramos. And then potentially what I could see as we go to the residents with the five-year rate study, we have the new board policy with how we get and maintain our reserves as kind of outlined by the grand jury. And then again, I think it's that board policy we need to take a look at with Mr. Ramos's input. So, Amelia, would you do me a favor? Would you just put on the calendar for you and I to chat on this? We're June. Let's go August, so I can just get a status of kind of where we're at with Mr. Ramos on that, and then. Again, that'll tie into, I think, where our cost allocation and the rate study, because I know we're out looking for the RFP on that process already. So let's just get the timing correct. Any other? I think we started with you. Do you still have more, Martin?
Yeah, could you explain to me then on the...
What page are you on, Martin?
22.
Okay.
The 400 on the water fund transfer in... from administration, tax appropriation. Why does it say tax appropriation?
That's the 425 that you see on, because that is the source of the transfer. So it's appropriate DFOA to recognize the source and
you just got through saying earlier that we're not using property tax revenue for this operation budget for water.
No, I said we are, but it's for that. In theory, it's for this. We're using it for the study, be considered.
So we are tying up all the property tax revenue.
We're using
it all.
No.
No, 283 is going to reserves for projects.
Right.
But 425 is being used
for studies.
From property tax.
Yes. From that. 818.
Which was different than I thought we were proposing. So is it possible for us to revisit that at the next meeting where we adopt the budget?
So what exactly are you looking for, Mark?
Not to transfer it out.
So then...
I understand that, but we don't even know the beginning balances very well. So I'm reluctant to tie up property tax revenue when we don't know what the starting balances are. I think that was our direction, not to reduce reserves.
And the direction from the ad hoc committee was to put everything into reserves.
Yes.
That can be in, put in there.
Right. And so what you came up with, Susan, was 283 to put into reserves.
I recall from the meeting that 425 was for Mike Giever, I think Mike was there, was for those studies. That was my interpretation of the meeting, the ad hoc committee. My interpretation was incorrect.
No, that's fine. So
my question is, can we not revisit that and bring it back at the next go-round?
I mean...
21st?
It would be better
It would be better to make a budget amendment, because I don't know that you can just have a study session on this and then adopt something that's very different.
So let me ask this, if I understand correctly, Martin. If we put the 818 into reserves, we still have a bill of 425. We would pull the 425 out of reserves.
No, it's being supposed to be funded by operations, and that's what the Prop 218 notice.
So I have some information on this based on my meeting earlier in the week. Was hoping we wouldn't have to discuss it tonight, but I think we have to. In March, when the board had a presentation on proposed rate increases, the assumption that was made by the consultant and presented to the board included the assumption that the rate studies would be funded by the rate increase, that we would be able to meet our operations costs and pay for those studies based on the rate increase. It is my understanding that subsequently, as our staff has refined this proposed budget, that they found that there was an inadequacy in that regard, and that's why the ad hoc committee, as I understand it, was asked essentially to authorize the use of the property tax funds to fund the studies. I'll defer to the GM if I've misspoken, but
no, that's what my understanding was as well. But I believe my first day in that meeting was, I wasn't even really on staff. This is day 15. And so I can't really say...
You're not pro now.
I can't really say how much I tracked on everything that was going on the day before my first day when I was listening into this this conversation. But I think there was probably a little bit of maybe confusion among the two parties about what the instructions were, right? And so I think maybe we can come back on the 21st or at a subsequent point with a plan for how to ensure that the studies get funded through the operations, and that the property tax money is, to the extent possible, you know, kept for reserves. Right. But I think what's clear is that this budget is not a very strong budget. There are a lot of deficits in every fund. And the way out from that, the way from red to black, is going to be a road filled with not exactly hardship, but certainly belt tightening and cautiousness and improved efficiency and effectiveness in our use of all resources. So I guess part of my thinking is that if you have, you know, anticipated revenues from services and from property taxes, but ultimately you've got, you know, expenditures that result in negatives, to me, it's all just going to blend in, you know, because if there's not enough to cover the costs, then ultimately it's going to have to come out of whatever money you have, which is, in this case, the property taxes. So I, my sense, just, you know, from the high level, not as much exposure to the details, is that it's going to take a while, you know, to dig out. That's just due to the history.
Thank you. And again, my understanding is that the assumptions that were made regarding the projected revenues with the rate increase and the projected operations understated the need for operations money, and the assumption, because it's very clear, it was in the document. It was a slide up on that on that screen. And if that assumption has proven to have been overly optimistic, which it sounds like maybe it was at the time in March, and again, as more information has become available and y'all have refined the information, that's precisely why I asked the question earlier about could we use capital restricted funds for those studies and reduce some of the burden on the operations side. And so I think we just need to have further discussion at a future point on those issues so that we can move towards a budget that is balanced.
Yeah, and I, of course, wasn't here in March, and I don't know... I don't know the individual, you know, who produced the original cost estimations. So, but I think it probably understated the expenses, right? So, but, I mean, I don't know that there would have been a will to go any higher on the rates, right? I mean, so I think it's just, that's why I think it's going to be, like, some hardship for several years while we get, you know, back in balance.
One, if I can,
yes,
one consolation, if it's, you know, the silver lining, is these studies happen every 5-7 years or so, and so yes, this is in this year you have an appropriation of property taxes, but then for the next 6 years you won't. So in theory, the water fund should be able to manage its operations. It would only be $100,000 off if if we in the future.
So. Right, and alternatively, if we were prudent budget planners looking forward, we could, if we get to a point where we have a balanced budget, work towards including some reserve money to set aside a percentage of those costs for every 5 years, so we could put aside $100,000 or whatever we anticipate the next study will cost. We're not there yet, but that's certainly, to my way of thinking, is a goal that we should aspire to, and I think your point's well taken. I had suggested at one point that we shouldn't fund those studies, these one-time costs, based on a rate increase, and it looks like now we really aren't. And that's why I say we need to look at alternative funding sources and then be mindful, as you suggest, Susan, of setting aside money for those perpetuating studies moving forward. I think that's a really pertinent point you just raised for this board to consider.
Martin, does that address your concern that we can address it as we move down the budget trail?
Yeah, that's anticipated.
Okay. What else do you have?
When we get to capital improvements, I have some comments.
Director Booth?
Nothing else for me, thank you.
Director Butler?
Right.
Yes.
Ted Hart, 825. I wanted to address the stepchild that's in the room, and that's security. And I'm not going to get into any involved discussion. A couple of questions, but the reality of what I'm looking at is, you know, you have all these difficult, complicated issues to work out concerning water, wastewater, and all the rest of it. The question that I have in the security budget is how many patrol shifts have been eliminated to fit into the budget. And as long as the ratepayers understand that the budget, in other words, we're sort of working, or at least I would assume we're working backwards, or putting it a different way, how much would the budget for security be if you had 24/7, 365 for full patrol? So it's just some comments. You can, you know, dig into it later, but looking at the budget, you look at the water and the wastewater and these things, these are solid, hard things that you have, and security is a nebulous thing. And I think that everybody needs to be aware of the fact we can make the budget work, but what's it going to cost us in patrols? Thank you.
Amelia, could you scroll to page 16, please?
Yes, sir. The security budget, I take it?
It's the staffing. And I think a partial answer to Mr. Hart's question is very graphically displayed there. We have been funding 17 security positions historically. Okay. This proposed budget reduces that to 12. And that's with a $50,000 proposed supplementation from some other revenue source beyond what Measure J provides to us.
And I understand that. All I'm pointing out is the fact that by that reduction, you now have reduced the number of patrol ships by whatever the number may be.
Right, and I share that because I think it's important for our community to understand if we limit our security staffing to what we can afford based on the related revenue, we have to reduce the number of positions that we fill, which by extrapolation means we will have fewer patrol shifts filled.
Right. And so then sort of tying in to what Mimi was saying is that how do you get out of this? And I don't want to get into that now. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. Mr. Merchant?
Well, I'm working overtime trying to follow where the money went.
Well, it's Marty, not where it went. Having an increase last year has put us in extreme deficit.
We kind of picked a fight, and there are some casualties in that. We and through security, but as a concept, I think understood that the goal was to take the property tax allocation and use that money to offset reserves. And I think I'm understanding, disappointed, but understanding why we're not going to do that. And I would buy off on that if I understood that the goal remained to do exactly that, to have that money come to us and be discretionary, but the idea being that we were going to offset our reserves with that $818,000 on an annual basis. The other part of the problem with that is understanding perhaps the real elephant in the room with the budgeting being that starting out at the beginning of this process 3 or 4 years ago and then through the protest and everything else, we haven't solved the real problem is in that we have not yet, and I understand the five-year rate study, dealt with the overwhelming necessity to fund our reserves to a higher level. Mm-hmm. We're sitting on an asset base of $55 million.
56, yeah, it's some change.
It's gone up, yeah,
sure.
Inflation. That discussion would turn, I think, on how we decide ultimately we're going to handle the reserve issue. And I don't know that there are a lot of options. These folks are obviously, I can already tell, smarter than me in this area. But if that's in the muni market and we're stretching out that 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 million long-term, 30 years that we need, then that does make the 818,000 this year or next year a discretionary part of our budget. And it could definitely offset studies, and it could offset a lot of other stuff. Personally, you know, I feel like we took some rather hefty casualties in the firefight along the way, and the results of the firefight ultimately to this point have not been very good, because Marty was trying to do what I thought we were trying to do with that money. And what it takes is one or two commitments, and again, I think you have to point towards how you're going to handle the underfunded reserves. If you fund that in a capital way through the muni market, that's one thing, and then you can take. But if we don't do that, or if there is some other plan to do it some other way, I would be satisfied with a, through this process of getting into the black, and understanding that once we get there, that this operating budget is going to fund itself, and that property tax allocation is going to go where we thought 2 or 3 years ago was really going to go. Mm-hmm. That's just my comment. And the other part is, you know, I'm really starting to sense that maybe there finally are some smarter people in the room.
Yeah. Thank you. Again, just my lightning math, because we have the separate budget accounts, the ones that are revenue neutral, the ones that are above revenue neutral, to the ones that are minus, I show that overall shortage, all accounts, we're at about 580 short, 600,000 short is what my math comes to.
Well, it should be the revenues minus the expenditures in the beginning, which is, I think, 10.9, 11.3, so 0.4, so 400,000.
I came up with that number as well, and then I just went through and added up our shortfall in water.
Are you adding up the net balances or the net activity, just the 1 year?
Yeah, basically that's what I'm doing. Yeah, so, and which is fine. We're in the ballpark. So people just have to understand, prior boards made decisions. We're trying to undo those decisions. The community spoke last year and told us what our budget would be, and that's what we had to work with. So to be short, I don't have stomach acid knowing that we have long-term plans. But again, I have a $10 million reserve to build according to the Sacramento County Grand Jury. How quickly we get there is going to be the issue. Okay, let's move on from there. Where's the next?
Page 27, we
asset
27 shows the rate increases. So there's some the proposed monthly billing rates for the various entities. Residential.
And I will say I do like my new bill, just for the record.
So. Oh, thank you.
And then the rest of this is just, you know, rate change table, so you can see what the current is and what the proposed is in the various categories. And then we move to the capital improvement plan, and Michael's going to pick up that topic.
All right. Good evening. Give you a quick rundown of our envision projects that we have, and let me be clear that these are the majority of the projects that we have listed here are in process. There's a few that aren't, including the CIP five-year rate study that we plan to do. That's being funded through water and wastewater reserve, a total of estimated 400,000. Water's funding 225, wastewater's funding 175. We have the continuation of the integrated water master plan that we started this fiscal year, and we estimate 200,000 of that will be spent to complete that integrated water master plan that's been started in the next fiscal year. Up next, we have a planned continual GIS updates. We're always updating our GIS system, always making it smarter, making it giving us more information. It's become a great tool. We're continuing to invest in that. We've got a $25,000 investment that we're making in water and a $25,000 investment that we're making in wastewater. We want to continue our condition assessment efforts. We're earmarking $30,000 for water condition assessment and wastewater condition assessment. That's going through and CCTVing pipes, coating pipes, getting an actual condition of the pipe that we have in the ground, and we're doing it piece by piece, and slowly we're building. Eventually we'll have an asset management plan based on this information. So it's an ongoing basis. We may choose to accelerate that as time moves on, but we're starting small. Next up, we have our Rio Oso improvement study. So we're taking a look at what's going to be the long-term configuration of our Rio Oso pressure system. Currently, we have two pumps that are providing pressure to that probably, what, one-third of our system, Travis, roughly? Yeah, roughly one-third of our system requires that Rio Oso system to get pressure. We're going to take a look at how can we run that more efficiently, what's going to be the long-term status of that important system, including it needs a new building, what kind of building would be used, do we add a hydrogen pneumatic tank, do we add a third pump to add more efficiency. Then next up we have our water treatment plant chlorine to sodium hypochlorite replacement project. That's currently gone through the design process. It's almost completed, and we'll be putting that out to bid soon. The $700,000 is what we expect to utilize in construction in the next fiscal year. Now, I want to bring your attention to that project, the Gramless Safety Rehabilitation Project, and the complete the wastewater treatment facility, chlorine to sodium hypochlorite, and contact tank rehabilitation projects. All three of those projects are partially funded through the SB 170 funding that we received at a level of $1.3 million. So we'll have $1.3 million to put towards those projects. While that does not pay for the projects, it greatly helps the funding of those projects. Did you have a question?
When you're done, I just wanted to go back to that that fund and
how sure.
That's all working.
So that project, we're going to be replacing our chlorine gas system at the water treatment plant with sodium hypochlorite, which is basically a fancy word for high-strength bleach. It'll be a safer way for us to disinfect, and eventually chlorine gas is going to be getting harder and harder to obtain, so we have to make that switch to keep up with the available chemical that we have for disinfection. Our Gramless Safety Rehabilitation Project, that's currently in the design process. That $122,000 is going to be what's earmarked for construction for next fiscal year. That's going to be replacing the roof on our existing four-bay structure and replacing all the slide gates, adding additional safety equipment for that area, and we look forward to being able to complete that project. Moving into wastewater, we'll skip down to complete lift station generator projects. That's going to be adding two generators that we don't currently have, along with the switch gears needed to make sure that when we lose power, our FAA lift station and our Cantova lift station will be able to continue to operate and serve the commercial area in times when we have power loss, thereby decreasing our risk of spillage. Our complete lift station rehabilitation projects, that's going to continue the work that we've already started upgrading lift station 3B, upgrading the lift station at Altamont, and the starter shack lift station. All three of those lift stations are in great need of rehabilitation, and this funds the continuation of those projects. Main lift north pump replacement. we utilized utilized on the shelf for Main Lift North, and we're replaced on the shelf, I believe.
Correct. We had one of the pumps go out last year at Main Lift North, and we had a company come out and switch it out. Kirby Pump came out and switched it out for us. They took it in and assessed it, the one there, and it was, it was Jay's belief that purchasing a new one at that time was cheaper than being able to replace that one because of the parts that were going to have to be made. So it was decided, conversation between me and Michael at the time, that we would just put in for a new one.
Okay. Yeah, we want to keep that on the shelf for the next failure. Yeah,
because it's 28 weeks, 28 to 36 weeks on that to get one. So with it being the importance of that lift station, okay, we want to put one.
And that's a very important lift station because that transports sewage from the entire north to the wastewater treatment plant. Also, we have for that lift station the roof repair as well. We're starting to get some leakage into the NCC building, which is bad. So we want to fix that. Also, we're moving forward. We're almost done with the pre-design process for the wastewater treatment facility, chlorine to sodium hypochlorite. We're also converting, getting away from chlorine gas at our treatment plant, and we're replacing our existing temporary contact tank that's been temporary for probably 15 years, who knows, and with a concrete tank that's going to last and bring value to the district. Additionally, we've earmarked $250,000 for security compound replacement. We got in some really bad news with our security trailer that we weren't going to be able to do a simple remodel, and so we're currently looking at different and used or new replacement modules for that area.
Now, is that because we had Amelia working on that? I don't want to blame anybody.
I'm hoping to bring two bids to the board in 2 weeks.
Really? Oh, excellent.
No, I did want to bring to the board's attention, and I think the board does know this. This isn't the entirety of our capital needs for next fiscal year, but until we know our starting balances, the ad hoc committee.
These are your priorities.
Had moved us through with basically existing projects, and then that really high priority CIP 5-year rate study.
Thank you, Michael.
Please. I just recently, that $65,000 for that North Course pump station is now $82,000.
Okay, you want to retract your last statement.
I'm just letting you know that I don't know how important it is to have for accurate numbers right now, but I just recently got the new bid for it, and it has gone up.
I believe we can make that update before the 21st.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I don't know how important to have accurate numbers.
That's the kind of information we actually need. No, Travis, stop. Director Poole. You've already cost us. Yeah. Director Poole.
In last year's capital improvement projects, I believe we were trying to fund the Tyler project with as a capital improvement project, and I don't see it in here.
I think Susan can probably answer that, speak on that a little bit more than me, her being an accountant.
We don't have any of the current ongoing projects that were already approved in this list. It's
These are primarily ongoing projects.
These are?
Yeah, primarily, except for the CIP.
These are just repeats of last year.
I think there was some reason.
But we eliminated, they're new project numbers, I guess. They might be repeats, but we look at them as new. They're in our system as kind of new projects. But so we don't have everything that's in process now, do we, on this list?
Yeah, this is the entirety of what's in process. Now, they are new capital numbers, and I think the discussion was that you have to put the money in every year to keep funding the projects.
Okay. With some CIP, so the capital improvement project budget is probably the most austere component of what we have to report. typically you'll have projects that were already, that were from the past, appropriated in the past or approved in the past, and then the status of here's the budget, here's what's been spent, here's what's left, and here are new projects. And then they typically go forward 5 years and show what is going to be needed in the future. So we don't have that presentation. We just have the presentation of the things that are that haven't been started. Have they? Have these been started?
Some of them.
Most of them have been started.
Yeah, except
CIP.
But all these. So this funding has been partially spent. These numbers are.
No, these are what's going to happen from July. This is what we estimate from July 1 forward.
Yeah. So. I don't know that, we haven't looked at Tyler implementation. I think we've made payments for the software. We just are paying
for
implementation.
Yeah, I just anticipated that there's going to be, next fiscal year, there's going to be some money to pay for their
It wasn't that appropriation
It was pulled out of capital
year.
For some reason. And
we had it, but we pulled it out.
Oh, they did?
We can take a look at it before the 21st and make sure that, it's somewhere.
And my only other question is, we've got the security compound at 250. Do we know that we have money in that fund?
No, that's unfunded. So the funding, if we did have to replace it truly, the funding has to come from somewhere other than the security fund.
Like all
maybe
funds,
you can move Travis in there instead.
Necessarily know what we have. Like with all of our funds, we don't necessarily know the fund balances until we have our audit.
So maybe if we're going to see some bids, we got to find a plan to pay for it.
Right. I know we have some monies, but I couldn't. It's been too long since I've seen the reserve.
That's all I have.
Okay. Director Booth.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Director Butler.
I just wanted a refresher course. We got money from the state.
Yes.
$1.3 million.
$1.3 million.
And they were for three projects.
Yes.
It was Granley's Dam, Granley's Dam, the chlorine conversion,
mm-hmm.
and what was the third one?
The chlorine conversion at the wastewater plant.
Okay, so two chlorine conversions.
Correct.
Okay. And I didn't do any math, but I don't know what the total of all of that is and how much of the $1.3 million is going to pay for that.
It's probably about a third.
So it'll pay about a third.
Off,
okay.
Off the top of my head.
And I try to attend. When it was Zoom, it was easier. But I try to attend the other committee meetings, even though I can't talk, which is very frustrating for me. But anyways, at the last, would it be the finance committee meeting? And we went through the list of capital improvements.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm just saying this so that the community can hear it and so that everybody who's here can hear it. We ditched. A whole lot of things. We took things off the list that
needed
to be done.
There's a much greater need. Yeah.
And I truly hope that the community understands the necessity for doing these things and the cost of doing these things, because this is not cheap. It's not $10,000 anymore. It's $110,000. It's not, $50,000 for a new trailer. It's $250,000 for a new trailer. Running this district is expensive, and it's not going to go away. So we're doing the best we possibly can with what we've got. And I hope that people are appreciative, at least to a certain extent, of the struggles that we are having in making this happen.
No, I understand. Thank you. I don't want to cause more work, first of all. So obviously, I'm going to cause more work. If you took a swag, Mike, at this document you have, if you put either it's going to take two more fiscal cycles or percentage of completion to each of those, I don't need it exact, because then that kind of ties into what Susan mm-hmm. is talking about. And again, this is what we're going to try and fund this year. Looking forward, especially for the five-year rate study, we're going to need to know, are we at 25% completion on a $700,000 project? Does that make sense?
I'm assuming that all these projects will be completed next fiscal
if,
year.
If we give you the funding.
Assuming that you give
me we give you the funding. Yeah. So then moving forward, we could take these priority items at $4.7 million off the table. Our next set of priorities come up as we look at the rate study moving forward.
Yes, and I have those. I can send you those priorities. Those priorities were
got
delivered
it. That's,
to the...
That's what I need moving forward. Thank you. Okay, that answered my question. Any other questions of the board of staff at this point? Okay. So the next several pages of the document from the general manager just goes into detail on the line items. I don't, unless there's any, I hear anything from the board, I don't think we need to go into those since we got explanations. Anything from you, Mimi, at this point?
You know, I think my only comment about the CIP is that, in a sense, that is deferred maintenance. That is, that when the grand jury talked about the need for reserves, those reserves are for capital improvements that are anticipated in the future. So really, you're paying for some of that as you go right now, because this is when it's happening. Just so, I don't know if that distinction is clear to everybody, but if you have capital reserves, those are for unanticipated future expenditures for your plant and equipment. And so theoretically, we would have, you know, had the reserve fund fully and be using that to cover these costs. And we have, you know, sort of a mishmash of some funding. We have some dedicated state funding for the transition away from chlorine gas and some repairs, and then some money out of operating probably. So there's, you know, if in a perfect world we would get to the point where we actually had a fully funded capital reserves program, you know, then you'd be able to just cover these things. And that's going to be, you know, the long-term goal. But it's all about maintaining the infrastructure so that the service delivery is reliable and consistent and, you know, quality. So just that's just sort of an encapsulation of the, you know, the interrelationship between the reserves and the CIP line items.
No, that's a great way of putting it. Thank you. That was 7C. So we're now at the motion portion to accept and vote on the proposed budget for fiscal year 2023/24, including the CIPs, correct?
I think that we're just voting to introduce that resolution
right
now, because we have
We have to then move it forward for the 21st.
Because it's a resolution, it actually does not require two readings. So if this is going to come back to the board, you can simply defer action until the next meeting.
Okay.
Then we'll do that, because there is going to be just a couple of items to be cleaned up. So thank you. Item number 8, consider approval of the district's response to the 22-23 Sacramento County Grand Jury Report. I don't know if we start with you, Mr. Ramos, or if we're going to...
And for those of you who are joining us, I did print it up in the back, and it is posted on our website.
Yeah, it was the last minute. Yeah.
So I haven't even had a chance to read it.
Okay.
Good evening, directors. I'll start with some background about the grand jury report and the preparation of the district's draft response to it. So, as likely all of you know, civil grand jurors are a group of volunteers who are impaneled to investigate the operations of local government. Grand juries are often associated in people's minds with criminal investigations and the formal charging of crimes, but the civil grand jury is a different beast entirely. Its focus is preparation of reports after investigation, into government institutions and providing oversight and feedback on their operations. I thought it'd be helpful to give some context to the district's report or the report on the district by telling you about some of the other reports that the grand jury has prepared recently for Sacramento County. Most recent report that two reports have actually come out since the district's report came out in March. The first was on homelessness in Sacramento County, and I like to think that the grand jury warmed up by dealing with the district's issues before tackling homelessness, which is a serious issue. As well, there's also a report on conditions at the county jail. In the past, the grand jury has also issued multiple reports on the county response to COVID-19, and that sort of consumed their activities for 2021 and 2022. So the grand jury process, how these investigations start is really dependent on a few things. Sometimes they begin with a complaint. Sometimes I tell clients, your number's up. The grand jury has picked an institution to study this year and investigate, and that one's yours. But once the investigation begins, the grand jury conducts the investigation. They invite witnesses, or if they don't respond to an invitation, sometimes they are subpoenaed. In this case, I know that several representatives of the district assisted the grand jury, appeared before it, provided testimony all voluntarily without the need for a subpoena, as well as providing documents at the grand jury's request. At the conclusion of the investigation, the grand jury issues a report, usually with findings and recommendations as prescribed by the penal code. In this case, the district's report was issued in March 2023 and included 12 findings and 13 recommendations. Since March, district staff and council have reviewed the report's findings and recommendations and prepared a draft response, which is in your board packet tonight. By law, the district must adopt an official response no later than June 13th. And the penal code also prescribes the form of your response. So I like to tell clients, this is not a creative writing exercise. The penal code tells you these are the things that must be in your response, and this is the method by which you must respond. So for each finding, the district must say that it either agrees with the finding, or is in full or partial disagreement with the finding, and an explanation for the areas of disagreement. For each recommendation, the district must state whether the recommendation will be implemented, the timeline for that implementation, and if the recommendation is not reasonable or unwarranted, why it will not be implemented by the district. I wanted to note, too, that in parallel, the district's also preparing an informal response. And we consider this more of a community response. Because of the sideboards and the highly prescribed nature of the grand jury response, it doesn't really provide the freedom to provide a fuller response to the community to each of the issues in the grand jury report. So we are preparing a draft of this informal community response, and it will be coming to you for review at a future meeting, likely on the 21st, depending on timing, that we'll also be working through the budget at that time.
So this is what we'll have again.
I did want to highlight, turning now to the draft response, I wanted to highlight a few issues. And I'll preface it by saying that civil grand jurors are not subject matter experts. They are citizens who decided to serve like the directors of a special district would. So they have to come up to speed on the inner workings of local government in many different ways, both for special districts that provide multiple services like Rancho Murrieta CSD or the jail or homelessness in Sacramento County. They cover a lot of territory. And typically the grand jury does not have a budget for legal support in their investigations or preparing reports. They receive some guidance from court staff, but really they're sort of on their own to conduct an investigation and do oversight. And so to some extent, I want to applaud their work in doing that investigation, issuing the report without a ton of outside support. I'd note, too, that the district's report acknowledged that the district has been working to address many of its legacy financial and accounting issues, many of which we've been talking about tonight. So several of the findings and recommendations of the report do discuss district finance and accounting issues. Those are essentially findings 1 through 3 and recommendations 1 through 5. And the draft response before you, I'd say, largely agrees with the grand jury's findings on these issues and their recommendations. And noting that in some cases the district has already moved forward with the recommendations before they were even made, and in some cases, and is in the process of implementing several of those recommendations. Several findings and recommendations deal with staffing, training, and succession planning amongst district staff. Those are findings 5 and 6, and recommendations 6, 7, and 8. And the draft response lays out the district's plan for these issues, some of which has already been implemented, and much of which concerns issues that we've actually been discussing earlier tonight as well. And then finally, several findings and recommendations deal with the district's obligations regarding capital projects, security services, and other local organizations in your community. These are findings 8 through 12 and recommendations 9 through 13. And here, I'd say there was probably a little bit more daylight between the grand jury's findings and recommendations and the district's response. And the reason for that is the opinions of the grand jury on how the district should allocate limited finances for the many district obligations. And again, these are the issues that you were just discussing in the last items, how to provide the same level of service that we've become accustomed to with less money. Those are complicated issues. They are complicated enough that it would be almost impossible for the grand jury to form opinions on those subjects, given the limited exposure that they have. These are complicated technical issues driven by competing interests, and they're really not something that the grand jury could even be expected to adequately grasp in their limited time and their process. So instead, in response to these findings and recommendations, the draft proposes that the district continue to work on these issues, give them further study, and use the resources available to the district, including the board, staff, and consultants. With that, you have drafts of the formal response. Staff are here to answer your questions, but the recommended action tonight, given the June 13 deadline, is that you review the draft, you offer revisions as appropriate, and then provide direction to complete and file the response no later than June 13th.
Thank you, Mr. Ramos. I'll start down at your end, Director Paul.
I read through it, and I take no issues with any of those findings or recommendations.
Okay. Director Booth.
I have the same conclusion that Director Paul does.
Director Butler.
Well, got this this afternoon. I can't say that I've had a chance to study this. I'm sure that we've done a good job at this, but I would like a chance to read it and take a look at it. One thing I just noticed in F7, the lack of an effective succession strategy has impaired the ability of the district to maintain adequate competent staff, which has resulted in the loss of critical accounting system knowledges. I think that respondents disagree partially with this finding, although the employee turnover, I think we need to specify that the employee turnover in accounting has been the problem, because that's where we've lost the most people the most frequently. Is that accurate, do you think, Tim?
It's critical. Well, it says it in finding number 7.
Yeah,
where it's
system.
The competent staff, which result loss of critical accounting system knowledge. So we were just, if I understand Mr. Ramos's response, he was saying the response to F7 is strictly for the accounting process that was identified in finding 7, because it's not combined with anything else.
Okay.
Talks district legacy accounting system. Describes response 1 are intended to address these issues. Okay. I get that you answered finding 7 in a single response, keeping it to just the accounting process. Is that correct?
That was the intent.
Okay.
If the board would like more clarity, we can provide an edit clarifying that we are talking about turnover in accounting staff.
I'm fine with that.
And that wouldn't keep you from adopting this response tonight, of course.
I think
we're
it would
not
just
changing.
Pull it together a little bit.
Okay. What else?
I haven't had a chance to look at much.
Okay. So I'm trying to think this through. We can adopt this as it is if board members come up with edits like what Director Butler does or did, and it doesn't have substantive changes, then we can get it turned in by June 13th.
I'd be happy to receive clarifying edits on the text, and so long as it's consistent with the overall message, I don't see any problem with approving it tonight, getting those edits, and then finalizing the document by the 13th.
Okay.
With that being said, I'll move approval of both documents pending any non-substantive edits that might be submitted to Mr. Ramos by board members.
I thought we were only talking about Mr. Ramos.
We were just talking about it, but what Director Booth did is approve the second one. If there are edits from board members that are non-substantive, and just under a little bit of background on the to the community residents, the general manager who wasn't here but now owns this, welcome aboard, has looked at it, given the input, same with legal counsel. So if there are edits to be done, again, non-substantive, then we can make those edits, but that's what the motion is. So if the motion
just on this.
No. The motion was both documents, we can make the recommended edits if they're non-substantive, but both would be approved and be ready to turn into the grand jury and release to the community by the 13th.
And I think we are still working through on some of the community response. I think staff are still working a bit on that. We prioritized the formal response, given that you have a deadline on that, but the community response is one that you owe to the community, but you don't have a deadline for.
So I'd rather separate the two.
All right, so I'll revise my motion to approve the letter to the court and the grand jury coordinator, with the caveat that board members will have an opportunity to submit any non-substantive edits to Mr. Ramos before it's actually sent out.
Thank you. Motions?
I second.
I know you do. I was going to ask for it, but thank you.
Thank you, Director Paul, for your second.
Go ahead, Director Butler.
So, I'm sorry. I just want to be sure that we have a chance to look at this. We're not in a big rush to...
Correct.
Okay, and so we can go to the 21st on the community response.
It has to be filed. Mm-hmm.
But, no. The official one, yes. And that's all we're talking about right now.
And this is just nothing substantive, just little corrections or whatever we run across and can pass it on.
Correct.
To Andrew.
As Mr. Ramos said, the response required doesn't give enough detail, or actually format, to give the detail that is needed to the community, and hence the second portion.
As long as we don't have to do this right.
Amelia, we have a motion with the second.
Roll call.
Please.
Director Mady.
Aye.
Director Cole.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Booth.
Aye.
And I see that Tim has to sign this, Andrew. When do I need to have his signature and get this back over to you, sir?
We'd like to have that on the 13th or earlier.
Okay, so we'll have it back to you on the 12th.
So to board members present, because the one that's not here, I've already discussed with this, I would say by noon on the 9th, any edits?
Okay.
Place. So that's what? 6-9 at 1200. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ramos. Moving on to item number 9, comments from the public.
Well, this Amelia has already posted both of them on the website. Even though they're drafts, are you going to take down the community one since you're still working on it? Or are they both available to be reviewed by the public since they're on the website?
I think we could leave the draft June 7th, the official response. Amelia, yeah, and thank you, Gail, for saying this. Again, I don't know what's going to change on the community one. The biggest task and lift was just finding all the supporting documents and getting the hyperlinks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I did thank you, Amelia. So Gail, thank you for bringing that up. I don't anticipate substantive change, but there could be some changes. So maybe we do pull down the letter to the community.
Very good.
And then, again, the sooner we get input, then it doesn't have to come to the board. Right. Well, I don't know.
Do you want it back on the...
So I have a clarifying question. Were these drafts posted as standalone documents, or were they part of the board packet?
They were posted as standalone documents, because when I have something that comes in at the last minute, like these did, I'll put it on as a standalone, and then the next day I'll add it to the packet so that the public can easily see what's come out late.
So if we were to pull them off the website as standalone, the drafts would still reside with the board packet, the complete board packet?
Yes, once the packets...
Okay.
Yeah, once they're released, I'll add them back into the packet, sure. Just to make it tidy.
Well, no, I'm asking, if they're standalone documents, I'm assuming they were also attached to the board packet.
No, sir.
Not yet, no.
Not yet, I haven't had a chance to do
that.
All right.
Never mind.
Yeah, please.
I was just curious, I'm trying to look at both documents on that F-11. Andrew, are we square with them on the issue of recycled water and cost to the country club? I mean, there are some things I think that could go into that draft comment that would be, first of all, it's in 16762, which is your basic diversion permit. Not only is it conditional to wastewater, it's also conditional to our basic permit for water. Mm-hmm. It specifically says in that document what we must do, and basically says that if we don't do this, i.e. push that water over to the club, that we don't get a permit. And it also makes stipulations in there as to what the club's responsibility is, and that's the not one drop that we've lived with since we created the permit. And it implies that this whole condition is really subject to the district, and it appears when you read that the club has no responsibility. The club is in essence the back end of that system. Okay, without the club's fully functioning irrigation and pump system and control of Bass Lake, it doesn't matter how much recycled water we process. Unless Stan can take it all, there's no place to put it. And I think that you could use some stronger language in communicating that. And you might, well, you do stipulate in there that it's a reoccurring agreement. Nobody can get out of this agreement unless both sides agree. And to think that at the end of this, with a 20-year renewal and a subsequent 20-year renewal after that, that the club's going to say, you know, sure, no problem, we'll give you plenty of money for the cost of the water. It needs to be very clear that going forward, okay, there aren't going to be conversations about, oh, they're going to pay for water. There's no part of that initial 1984 agreement that stipulates that. So some of that can be reinforced. I think we could send a stronger message at this point.
And to that point, it's one of those, as Mr. Ramos said, this is a return and file, right? And so his response is pretty concise and to the point. That's where in the community response we do go back to 1970 and talk about those things and all that, just to give that history. Again, the legal response doesn't give us the format to talk what you're talking about. And the difficulty is I don't know what the question was proposed to the grand jury. I know the questions they asked me and the answers I gave them. But I understand what you're saying. I don't know, to the community it's important. To the grand jury, I don't know if they even care, quite honestly, John.
Okay.
So, but I understand what you're saying. And that's the history we've got to share with the community.
Right.
Going forward. Thank you.
I'm still confused about what's going to be on the website. I want to put something in my story saying you can go to the website and what you can and cannot see. So she takes off the standalone documents and puts them in the packet. So I just say, go look at the packet and you can see the draft reports that
just
might
so
be changed a little bit later.
Well,
and when will the packet be posted?
The packet?
With modified
to be,
packet.
Here's what I am understanding that I'm going to do.
Okay.
I understand that I'm going to remove the community report from the website underneath the board meeting, and that I will leave on the formal response to the grand jury. Additionally, Gail, I'll put that formal response on the grand jury page. On the carousel, there's a page that talks about the grand jury report and has that report, so I'll put the formal response on that page too.
But now, but the community isn't going to be in there for now.
I'll call you on the phone when Tim tells me to put it on. Is that
go ahead,
okay?
Mr. Amos.
Director, maybe I wanted to add. There's no magic to the draft community response. It's just that it's still in process. If you wanted to leave it up as a current draft that has not been adopted by the board yet, I certainly would have no concern about that. It tracks with the formal response. It's just in process.
Perfect.
Maybe that's a statement that could be made. Somewhere.
Yeah, if you just...
This is an in-process, this is a draft, this is not the final...
Yeah.
And in theory, it's pending approval by the board at our next meeting.
Right, yeah. Okay. Does that answer your question, Gail? All right, thank you for asking that.
So I'll leave them both on the board packet, and then I'll put them over in on that grand jury page on the carousel page.
Please.
The gentleman wants to speak.
Oh, yes, Mr. Kyle. Yes, I was just going back to it. Yes, sir.
My name is Bob Kyle. I don't know my lot number. 14, I don't even know my address.
How about your account number at the club? No reason.
You all right? Okay. So, welcome, Mimi. There's been some history with I'm speaking about the residence project. Our first two general managers had little or no understanding of the 670 FSA agreements or how to process any requests that were made that have led to significant delays in our project. However, moving forward, the new administration has the ability to keep us on schedule. We plan to start in August, and I think it's critical right now, the things that you can control, which would be getting comments from the district engineer, moving through the permitting process in an expeditious way, would be very much appreciated. And then we can go back and revisit the items that are still outstanding from 2019 that are critical to know, but won't stop us from starting construction. So that's what I wanted to say. Item one. Item two is I believe the board, the CSD, should consider owning the infrastructure for the water system for the country club.
Okay.
The country club,
I'm following you now,
may or may not be in a position to keep it in proper working order, and so I think to me it would make sense to have the CSD own and maintain that system. That's all I have.
Are you talking about the recycled water system?
Yes.
So just real quickly, Mr. Kyle,
yep.
We have met with a group of developers as recently as this morning around the 670. So Mr. Ramos and I are going to have a little bit of a conversation. Again, at the end of the day, the board's made it clear we don't want to be the speed bumps, and it is a very difficult document. There is no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
So So with that being said, we hear it from you, and we've heard it from another developer as early as spring. So we understand.
Well, the first and second GMs never read the agreement. So I know you've only been here for a short period of time, but it would be appreciated if you did.
Understand.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anybody else under item 9 for public comment? Item number 10, director comment suggestions. I'll start down with Martin.
I appreciate all the effort that's gone into this budget preparation, and the it looks really better than I expected, so I appreciate all the hard work that went into it, and I'm glad you're up and running.
Director Booth.
Thank you. I echo Director Pohl's comments. Again, I met with staff earlier this week, and I'm really impressed with how quickly our new general manager has gained superior knowledge of a lot of the issues that this district leadership is facing. I was really impressed with Susan's ability to answer my questions, address my concerns in a manner that was very forthcoming, and that, as I mentioned at the end of our meeting, for me, compared to some other experiences I've had, was a breath of fresh air. So thank you both. And like I said, I'm optimistic that I'm seeing a light at the end of the tunnel on our finances.
Thank you. Director Butler.
Ditto. Very happy to have you both helping us, working for us, working with us. I actually feel like I understand this, and I can't say that that was true in the past. Whether that was my fault or not, I'm not sure. But it has been presented to us in a way that is understandable, and you did answer the questions, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. A couple of items. Susan, thank you. It's some stomach acid you've been burning for us, and we're still going to use some more of your stomach acid, I promise. Michael, thank you. Mimi, I appreciate it. Mr. Ramos getting the grand jury stuff. The only other item is I just need to inform Director Butler and Booth, only because I don't like you, Martin, mm-hmm. So this doesn't revolve around you. But
that's a backhanded compliment.
Say what?
you two will be in a email chain with RMA Director Chris Childs.
Okay.
As they move forward with the ad hoc committee, it was a couple meetings ago, or maybe our last meeting, that I committed Kelly and the general manager as needed. I don't know what it looks like. I just spoke to Chris. It's the ad hoc committee for RMA on security, both of you requested to be part of it. Mm-hmm. So whether they use both of us, one of us, none of us, that's
okay.
I pushed it forward, so you'll see it in the food chain.
Okay.
Moving forward. With that said, a motion for adjournment, please.
I move that we adjourn.
Can I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director Butler, and this roll call. Director Meade.
Yes.
Director
Pohl. Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Booth.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Meade.